Welcome to the Marriage on Fire podcast with Matt and Natalie. Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
It's been another crazy, awesome, amazing day.
Yeah. Today was a breakthrough day.
A breakthrough.
For our family, which is amazing.
Yeah. No, it was, we already marked this day down as a pivotal day.
Yeah. It's 3/4/24.
3/4/24.
God opened the door. That's what I wrote down in my journal time today. Was 3/4/24. God opened the door. And this was the year I prayed for like open doors, you know, of new doors, new opportunities. But this was a door that we needed torn down.
So why don't you open by sharing where you were at yesterday? Paint the picture.
Where I was at yesterday is selling off our child. No. where I was at yesterday was, you know, we've been really struggling. I have been personally struggling, since our son was around 7, our oldest, with just very addictive issues. When it came to, he has a very addictive personality, and unfortunately he just found himself in, you know, addicted, you know, when he was 7, he was addicted to Pokemon cards, and then he found gaming and was addicted to gaming, and then he was addicted to going into the chat rooms and interacting with different people in the chat rooms. And we've had to shut that down. And, he's very smart. So he's into like hacking and getting people's codes and hacking computers and phones and just very mischievous and devious. Was Zayd. He's now 12, and, you know, we took him out of school, beginning of this year, and we've homeschooled him. And if I'm being completely honest, that's probably been one of the hardest things we've ever done. Mm-hmm. COVID, I was forced to. I was forced to in COVID, and I was like, this is why I would never homeschool ever.
Kindergarten and second grade at the time.
Yeah, so he was 7. So this is when kind of like I started to see that little bit of the behavior. So COVID, I was kind of forced to it. And then this year, we did it to ourselves. And one of the biggest things was that you know, I had really felt that we needed to homeschool Zayd because of he's very influenced by the people that he hangs around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could just tell like his influence was not good. His sphere of influence was not good. He wasn't making good decisions. And because of who he is and was, he was a magnet for not good influences. And then you were the one that kind of came around and was like, hey, you know, like I actually feel this too. I really feel like we need to homeschool Zayd. So we ended up pulling our oldest out. And then our youngest actually like on his own was like, I want to be homeschooled. He didn't even know that we were planning on homeschooling our oldest, but he on his own was like, hey, I want to be homeschooled. I'm like, well, that's crazy. We were actually just talking about homeschooling Zayd. So we've been homeschooling the boys for the last year. And Zayd, what's been good is his only influence is me and you and his brother. He doesn't have any other outside influence, as far as like school and stuff goes. But the behavior still continued where he was still sneaking, and we've eliminated all of it. So we've gotten rid of the games. I threw it in the trash can a couple of years ago. I literally threw a trash can in his face. I was like, this is not serving you. So it's gone. But he still found ways to get on the iPad and download apps even after deleting them. He would sneak down in the middle of the night and find things. So it just got to this place, like to keep a long story short, you know, we would catch his behavior. The Holy Spirit would put heart on my heart, like that he was doing things, and I would catch him, and then he would be more like upset that he was caught doing the bad things than he was actually feeling guilty that he was doing the bad thing. And that's the part that really started to suck, is that in these last few months with him has been, and I'm sharing this because my hope is that this can help those of you, especially that have gamers, is, you know, I get it. Like we've done everything, you know, they don't have a phone, they don't have an iPad, they don't have a computer, but would always still just find a way to like figure out how to get that in his, you know, get connected to the devices. So these last few months, what's been really hard is he would sneak we would find out, we would confront him about it, and he was just pissed that we found out about it versus actually like...
Well, and he would even largely like deny it until the evidence was irrefutable, and then he would finally be like, okay,
yeah,
you caught me.
Totally.
But he would not be overly remorseful. He would,
no.
He would not want the consequences.
No.
But he wasn't making this adjustment on his own.
Yeah, and so let's talk about the consequences. So, like, I just, for, like, those of you that have, like, really, like, had the struggle. So, he lost privilege to his room because of his behavior, right? Because he was going into these chat rooms and stuff. He was going into really dark places. And I actually shared about this on my podcast, on my personal podcast. But, you know, it's not the gaming. It's the demonic spirits that are in the games. He would connect in these chat rooms and... God really put on my heart, he's connecting with pedophiles. And I even looked on, you know, we even had Zade look online, like, and it says like Roblox is a cesspool for pedophiles. And so he's not connecting with other 12-year-old like-minded people like himself. He's literally connecting with like 65-year-old gross men. So it's this demonic spirit that he's attaching himself to. So it's like bringing that spirit into our home, and you could feel it, and it sucked. And I'm very sensitive to those kind of things. So it was just really starting to weigh on me, like, really, really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. And so, what happened yesterday is, like, you know, this behavior has continued, and the rotten behavior of being around him to the point where even our youngest, who's like right now on fire for Jesus, doesn't want to be around his brother. And they're 2 years apart, and they used to be buddies, and he hates being around his brother. And to the point where, like, our oldest, you know, went to go visit. We had him go stay with his grandparents. So, like, I told my dad, put him to work, you know. And our youngest was like, I don't want to go be with him. Like, I'm glad that he was gone. And that week that he was gone, like, the spirit of our home was so different. So we've looked at, like, do we send him to a ranch? Do we send him to his grandparents for a year? Do we put him in foster care? Like, what do we do with this child who is just dead set on being what he wants to be? Something that I've specifically prayed for is, like, God, just convict him of his heart, like, convict, like, lead his heart to that conviction, to lead him to repentance, to want to never want to touch this stuff, never want to do these things. And so the most beautiful thing that happened yesterday.
Well, before we get to that, where were you at yesterday morning? Like, on the way to the gym, what were some of the things you were saying to me?
Yeah, I mean, to be raw and real, so last week, God gave me this vision that Zade had tried to kill himself, like, in a pool, that, like, he had drowned himself. And I asked Zade about that, actually. We went for a walk, and this is when we went for a walk a couple days ago, and he was saying, I'm a bad kid. I do bad things. And I'm always going to be a bad kid, Mom. I do bad things. And I'm like, well, if you tell yourself that you're a bad kid and you continue to do bad things, then you're literally telling that your identity is you're a bad person. But if you, I'm like, you literally could wake up tomorrow and make a different choice. Like, I am going to be a godly young man and start making those kind of choices. I'm like, your choices, it's what you're choosing right now. So I asked him, I said, you know, I had a vision of you trying to kill yourself recently. Is that true? And he said, yes, it is true. I tried to drown myself in one of your friend's pools. And I said, why did you try to kill yourself? Like, why did you try to, you know, why would you do that? And he's like, because I'm a really dark person, Mom. And I don't like, he was like, very honest. He's like, I don't like the way I feel. I'm like, so you think that the best way to end all that is to end your life versus literally making a different choice, like being a different person. And I told him, I said, because what's sad is that your decisions right now, you're going to lead a lot of other people down the wrong path, including yourself. But if you made a choice right now, like, you have such a huge call on your life, God wants to do such a big thing in and through your life that you could actually be a huge blessing. So this dream that I had of him drowning in the pool, I literally saw his body. And as a mom, like, when I as a mom, you would think seeing your son dead in a pool that you would be like, oh my gosh, and like be horrified and broken. And I, in my vision, I was like relieved. I literally said out loud, like in my dream, like, now he can't hurt himself or hurt anybody. And I literally said, he's safe. Like, at least he's safe. And it was because so much of has been weighing on my heart is, if this path continues, he's going to get into drugs. He's going to get into other things. And we're going to find him in like a pool of vomit. Like, and that's the vision that God gave me is like, if he continues down this path, he is going to get into more and more dark things. This is just the start. So you've got to save his life now. And when I saw him in the pool, it was like, okay, like he's safe, you know? And I hated, like, I literally got up and I was like, God, I hate this. He's like, yeah, I want you to hate it so much that this is how I want you to pray. Help, like, pray that his heart finds me, that when he does the bad thing, he feels convicted. So this past weekend has sucked. Zeta's continued to be bad. We found out yesterday, like he told all of us that he was doing all these bad things. And I was like, and I knew it. I was like, I knew. I even told Matt, I said, we were driving on our way to the gym yesterday. And I said, I know that he is doing the things that, I know that he's sneaking. I know that he's getting into these devices. I don't know how, but I know that he is because of his spirit. Like it's rotten.
Yeah, he thought he was getting away with it, but we're like, we can tell based off how you're behaving and the spirit you're showing up in.
Oh yeah.
Like something's not right.
Yeah.
Like whatever you're up to, yeah, it's not good and showing up on your face.
Totally.
It's showing up in your demeanor, it's showing up in how you're like treating your brother, it's showing up everywhere. I remember even like last Monday, he was just like glum, like super glum, oh, super yeah, down. Didn't finish some of his assignments. Didn't have a good reason why.
He didn't care.
It was just like, just like, mm-hmm. Like, something is definitely off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on our drive to the gym, I just said, you know what, Matt? Like, and I've probably said this 100 times, but I was like, as we're getting ready to move back to California in the next month here, I'm like, I cannot have this in my home anymore. And you know, it's hard as a parent, right? Because we have another son who is sold out for God right now. And I can tell his little broken spirit with his brother, it was weighing on him, mm-hmm, you know? And so it's like, I have a job as a mom to protect our other son, you know, right, from this too. So it's like, what do you do as a mom? It's like, I got one son that I want to like, he needs to change and I want to help him change. But then I have another son who's like, this behavior is impacting and affecting our youngest. And so it is impacting our whole family. You can feel this demonic, you can literally feel the demonic spirit. I would look at my son and I could see black tunnels in his eyes. It was like this dark, dark pit. It's awful. So we were driving on the way to the gym. I said, you know, I'm at a place where literally I'm like, maybe it's foster care. And I'm not even joking. Like maybe it's somebody who takes in kids, takes in boys that need help. I don't even know. I'm like, I just cannot have him in this home anymore. I cannot have this spirit in our home. We have to have breakthrough or we just, but I can't do this anymore. And I've been very like broken and it sucks me dry and I don't get to dream and I don't get to, like I don't feel like Natalie Flowers because I have a son that zaps every ounce of my energy. So we drove back from the gym and it was pretty broken and pretty at a place where, I just didn't want him around anymore.
Yeah. I remember one of the things you were saying is like, you did not like the way that you felt.
Yeah. I hate the way I felt.
Like I hate it. You're like, I hate the way I feel.
Yeah.
And it was being around him, being in his presence, mm-hmm, spirit, feeling like, hey, this is like a darkness in my own home.
Darkness in my own home.
Maybe also feeling like, hey, you know, leaving them together alone, which they're old enough to. I know. But like,
Gavin would cry, please don't leave me with him.
Yeah, his brother would be like, hey, he hurts me when you're gone. Mm-hmm. And none of it was like catastrophic, but it was like inflicting pain.
Yeah.
Like a rough housing or being too rough. Or
and mean, just belittling him. Just kind of being mean
and just mm-hmm, being like, right? Making weird sounds, not fun to be around. Weird
sounds, yeah.
There's all this like weird, awkward energy, and it's like, okay, great. Well, don't want to be around him all the time. Can't necessarily leave him alone. And then he's just kind of like in this weird spot. And then he would get strangely defensive about things and argue back with you and just kind of be in that place. So then what part of the story do you want to tell next?
Well, I want to share this about you. So before we get into like the breakthrough, and this is why we want to share on the marriage podcast, because I was sharing with Matt, you know, the man in the home, like the husband, the father in the home is critically important, obviously for girls and boys. But when it comes to, we have boys, and so I'm going to just share specifically with boys to their dads, is there's this switch. So we have an almost 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. And when they were little, especially my youngest, when they're little, it's like mom, and, you know, he loved to cuddle and it was like mom, you know, like just they're like, I don't know. I've even had friends that are like, you know, moms, you know, boys love their mommies. But then there's like this switch, and I could feel it, especially like in our oldest, around the age of like 9, 10, where it's like this switch of like, I look to dad. Because I relate to dad, because I'm a dude and dad's a dude. And so they start to see like what dad does, what dad is, and how he behaves and how he interacts. And especially if their personalities and their giftings are very similar to their father's. And that is our oldest. So our oldest is very intelligent. He's very, very smart. Just has like this very... He's not the most like talkative person, and more on the introvert than the extrovert side. And he just connects to you, to Matt. He really does, like he sees a lot of himself in you.
Right.
And so through the years, you know, you have been, you know, you're always reading books and you're always, you know, very business. And a lot of our conversations as a family have been around like your business and books that you're reading, and then sprinkle of God. There's been sprinkles of God that you've shared. But I would say for the most part, for the last 20 years, it's like more on me on the God part, a little less business, a little less intellectual stuff. And there's been this huge transformation that has taken place in our family where you have been doing this coaching, this warrior, and raising up men to be unleashed to the person that God has called them to be in all aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you've had to do that yourself. And so you've put yourself in the trenches of like, I am going after first, like my certainty and communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
I am going after my wife like I've never pursued her before. And I'm going to show up, you know, as the man of God in my home and as the father. And you have leveled up in a lot of areas, but in those areas in particular, you've like majorly leveled up. So the conversations and your demeanor are completely different in this home. Like you carry this mantle of the Holy Spirit, like I've never seen, like this authority that you carry as the man of our home, and the boys see it. Mm. And the boys feel it, and they've seen the transformation. And Zayd, especially, you've been working out with him in the mornings, and then you know, you bust out and you do your lives, your Instagram lives. And in those Instagram lives, you're sharing with men, you know, you're connecting with your audience, which is men, of how to be the man that God's calling them to be in all these different areas of things that you've shared. And as you're doing these lives, you're doing them in the car with Zayd sitting right next to you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're jumping out of the gym and we start ripping a live, and he's like a part of the conversation initially.
Yeah,
talks a little bit about what we worked out, and then he sees me share, you know, what's you know what I learned, you know, why it matters, the lesson I got from life, and how to apply something.
So I think the biggest thing is like you're spending time with him, you're doing something, you're moving your guys' bodies together. He mm-hmm. loves that, and that's been something he's really enjoyed. He's not a very expressive kid, but that's something that he's very much expressed.
Yeah.
That he loves that very much. And then something that really God showed me is that you doing those lives. So Zayd, if you have a kid like this, this has been really great. Our youngest, you tell him like God is good and You tell him all these like things, he's like a sponge and he'll spit it right back out. He like loves it. If you tell that to Zayd, our oldest, he's like, want, want. But if you just, if you're just like talking amongst yourselves about these things and you're not telling him directly, but you're sharing it in his sphere of hearing, being able to hear
if
it.
If he can eavesdrop on the conversation. Eavesdrop
on it.
Yeah.
Then it's planting the seed.
Yeah.
And so what's been really amazing is that by you going live and sharing with your audience on Instagram to these men, with Zay sitting there, that seed was being deposited. Mm. And God really showed me, like, with those seeds being deposited, he started to look at you in a different way. And looking at, like, at you in a different way, which was, okay, my dad is really smart like me. He used to talk like this. He used to talk about business and these different things. But he just, there was an Instagram that you did where you're like, you know, I had a guy that I was talking to and he was asking about, like, what books he should read to better his, I think for his business or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were like, you know what? I could have, if you had asked me this question like 8 months ago, I would have given you like all these books. But what I've realized is that you just need to get quiet with God because he's going to give you the greatest download yeah. and strategy for your particular situation.
Yeah. And these are also, these are not early, this was not an early career professional who needed baseline knowledge.
Yeah.
This was someone who is like
who's read
very
all books.
Senior, has plenty of knowledge.
Yeah.
But what he needs is like divine guidance
yeah.
and like wisdom to make decisions and also more capacity for understanding people and who he's working with.
Yeah.
Which you can't really get that from a book. You totally. Actually have to get out there and learn how to do that.
Yeah. Right?
You can get some how-tos, but you got to go get the reps.
Totally.
And the reps are not in the reading. And so for him in particular, also, he needed more margin in his life and more like space.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, get alone with God. And then the other thing is like, really go in on your marriage.
Yeah.
And those two things would then open up that greater capacity that I knew that he had, including like his relationship, developing the ability to listen more to your wife and hold space there and actually understand her better. So that's going to actually help you understand people better, just in general. Like, develop that skill here.
Yeah.
It'll bless your wife. It'll bless your marriage. And then the overflow of that is now you're going to be able to connect with your team.
Totally.
And people you're working with externally, because you now you've developed the ability to be present, to listen, to connect, and then actually help them feel appreciated. And then that, and here you can do it in an amplified way.
Mm-hmm.
There, it will be like a subset of that skill.
Yeah.
Like, just go do that. Like, do those two things. And then also, because he's stepping into this new season, he's going to need more supernatural wisdom. And he really does need to make sure that he's helping his wife feel cherished and adored, because he's going to be taking on a lot of responsibility. And the risk would be that he would put more work effort in on the job in order to, if he feels like he's falling behind, double down there.
Yeah.
And then that would wreak havoc on the home front.
Yeah.
And the irony is, like, she's the one that's kind of wanting him also to go fly and flourish and soar, but she doesn't want to be left behind. She wants to go along for the journey. She's like, hey, like, I didn't do all this just to have you like go be consumed by this next thing. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're seeing me in the morning going live. Zayd is watching.
Yeah.
He's observing.
Mm-hmm.
Changing how I'm showing up in the house.
Completely change. Oh, yeah. Like, just our prayer, our prayer time in the morning has been amazing. We talked about that last week. But then even just like this morning, how you shared your prayer stack, you know, and that you, how you're teaching these guys how to do this prayer warrior stack that you have. Just you sharing that, that's something that you never used to do. It was like, ever, you know? And so just being able to, because you never really took time to really be quiet and listen to God. So today you weren't sharing like, here's some cool scriptures I got from the Bible today. Let's talk about it. It was like, hey boys, like, and we sat down as a family and you're like, this is what God downloaded to me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh snap. Like, dad just said, like, God gave him, and it was a lot, you know? That God gave him this huge download, and it was about, you know, seeing God in people, which was beautiful.
Yeah, well, one let's give a snippet here. I went from talking about how, like, what is it that we find attractive in others? Mm-hmm. And it started with this notion of looking at, like, the external, but then very quickly became like, no, what really draws you to somebody?
Yeah.
Why do you pay attention to them? Of the gazillions of people are running around in the world, all clamoring for some degree of attention, like, who do you give your attention to and why?
Yeah.
What is it that kind of like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And so God took me on this journey this morning where I started just to, like, unpack that.
Mm.
So instead of being in the generic of, like, oh, who are people that people find attractive? I was like, okay, God, who do I find attractive?
Mm.
Who have you placed in my life where I'm like, ooh, I like what they have to say. I want to hear more of that. I want to be in proximity to them. I want to be picking up what they're putting down.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, they have some fruit in their life and I want some of that fruit. Mm. Like, what does that look like? What does that feel like? And so I started to list out, and then that was kind of like me taking my thoughts to God as he was kind of like revealing to me the different aspects and also kind of mining my own life, my own experiences.
Yeah, super.
And then when it came time to, like, the dialogue part where I was, like, writing back and forth, and God was like, hey, look at Jesus. And when he came, people were drawn to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were drawn to him because, not just because he was healing and teaching, it was all of those things, but it was like how he made people feel in his presence.
Totally.
And he was doing all of that in a way that was, like, reflecting me and my glory.
Mm.
And so I began to think that every person that actually has something attractive about him, whether they know it or not, I feel like it's almost like God's either gifting and talent that's flowing through them.
Mm.
Whether it be, like, their attributes, like, oh, they have a beautiful face.
Mm.
Well, how do they get that beautiful face? Mm. Right? So, like, that's God being like, here, beautiful face. Talents. And then they work that talent. But that in a way is like a hidden treasure that God put in them that they are then revealing and expressing to the world.
Yeah, so beautiful.
And so then it became like, oh, interesting. Like, where
to find Christ in
everybody. I'm drawn to these different people, and what it really is inside them is some element of God's personality, mm-hmm. presence, and gifting that is flowing through them.
Yeah.
That's the part that's attractive. So if you distill that then down, it becomes like, oh, God's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's reflected in all these different ways in different people,
mm-hmm.
where there's different hidden skills and talents that they hone. There's different fullness of expression or elements of expression that are coming through people. And that's what we're attracted to.
I love that too for you for coaching, because it's like you get to, like, with God as your helper, you get to dig out the greatness in people. Like, what?
Yeah.
So let's find that hidden treasure that God's put in you to be something great.
Right. Well, right? Cause that's kind of how all this then becomes applicable is, okay, this, and this stemmed from, I was reading, and it had to do with becoming a person of interest, which means become mm-hmm. someone who's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is attractive, right? So that's what kind of led me down this entire path. And a big piece of that is a Jim Rohn quote, which is, to attract attractive people, you must become attractive.
Yeah, that's kind of like what we've been talking to Zayd about.
Yeah, and so it's kind of, yeah, because what he's attracting into his life.
Totally.
But it's also like, hey, if you're building a team, if you're mm-hmm. building a business, if you're looking to recruit, if you're looking to like develop a team around you, whether it's in a different setting, even outside of business, it's like, who are you attracting into your life? What is it about you that draws them in?
Yeah.
Right. And mm-hmm. so how do you amplify your attractiveness?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certain things you knew from a packaging perspective and taking care of yourself and, you know, externally, but a lot of the people that I'm attracted to, it really has very little to do with what they look like externally.
Yeah.
It may be initially there's elements of that, but it really has to do with this notion of, can they help me win?
Mm.
And by win, I don't mean score points, but more like a bigger win in life. And like, is there something that do they have fruit in their life that I want, that I feel like by being, you know, in their vortex, like around like what they're talking about, what they're saying, that it makes that more certain, like inevitable, Yeah. Like that, like, hey, if they can help me increase my faith, because if they can do it, I can do it.
Right.
That's a piece of it. And then it's like, okay, turn that around. How am I helping people around me see that they can win? Yeah. How am I encouraging their gifts? How am I unpacking what's inside them? And then if the most attractive thing is someone living in the fullness of their expression of their God-given ability, right? Mm-hmm. So like fully on fire for God, fully connected and certain in that piece of their life, their marriage is on fire, they're confident and certain how they're showing up as a dad, they're taking care of their body, and then their calling, whatever that is, the expression of that calling in the world, the impact they're supposed to make, the influence they're supposed to have. Because I feel like there's a tragic epidemic of people living small lives.
Oh, big time.
And a piece of that, and I would say, like, I was one of them, and I'm not necessarily out of where, I'm not necessarily where I want to be yet, but I feel like I'm on the way because I'm moving in that direction now. Yeah. And a big piece
giving
of
yourself
it is
permission,
like,
actually. I think that's the biggest thing. I've seen you give yourself permission to be great.
Well, yeah, it's permission to be like, you know what? Like, I can live small and actually do incredibly well for, like,
your
my
life.
Family on some levels.
Right.
Or it could, like, take the risk of living a bigger life and being used as a blessing to thousands and millions of people.
Totally.
And actually stepping out there. Now, the crazy thing is that our family is not the same because of it.
Yeah.
And it's
we'll
not
get
like
right back into that.
I'm leaving the family behind. It's actually the transformation that I'm going through.
No, totally.
Is actually coming back around because a big piece of it is not me doing this for the sake of the calling and forsaking my family.
Totally.
It's actually like what I'm looking to help men do is rise up.
Yeah.
And level up, like their certainty of communion with God, mm-hmm. their prayer life, like how they're actually, connecting on that piece, the relationship with their wives. Like our relationship has gone like next level over the last like 2-3 months even.
100%.
Just like boom, 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 boom. And it's not that we don't have like little speed bumps and hiccups along the way, but like where we were 3 months ago to where we are today, it's almost unrecognizable.
100%. And well, and you as a father too.
Yeah. And then how I'm showing up as a dad and going through these things.
Amazing.
And so,
I shared that with you before we started this podcast is like, we have a generation of fatherless children. Like the dad is, he's there and he's providing, but he's not present. You know, he's not present in these boys' lives, in his kids' lives. And so they don't get to see, one, you're not making an impact in their lives. And so what's left is that if you're not present in their lives and spending time with your kids and investing in your kids and showing them like what it's like to be a godly man who's on fire for God and like has a solid marriage, then what they're going to go do is they're going to look for it in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
They're going to look for it in their peers and online and social media. And so I'm so grateful, like so grateful that you have done the work that you have been doing because it, like God literally put on my heart this morning, like Zayda is changed because he saw it in his dad.
Yeah. So going back to Zayda. So yesterday when we were at the gym, he goes out, spends time in nature.
I forced him outside. So he didn't finish his breakfast, which is basically every day. And he was just very disrespectful. And I was like, you know what? You need to get out of this house. Cause like, I could just tell like in my heart, like it wasn't good. So I was like, you need to go outside and I'm going to tell you when to come back in, but like, you need to go outside. And I guess he decided to take that time and pray. And this all came, he shared with us last night. So last night, we're selling our house here in Tennessee that we literally just customed and designed and built like 3 months ago and we're selling it. So we had to stage the house. So we're staging, we had a professional stager come over and tell us all these things that we needed to go do. And so the boys, since they're homeschooled, they're a part of all of this. So they hear the stager's recommendation. So I get all the things and we're putting the house together. Well, usually Zayd is very much in the world was created to serve him. He does not have a heart. Old Zayd did not have a heart to serve. Gavin, on the other hand, is like all about it. So yesterday he has this like, Zayd is like very cheerful. And all day Zayd was like all about serving and helping. And he's like, and at one point when I'm like irritated, fluffing stupid fake plants, Zayd was like, I love this. This is so much fun. And I look at him like, what? He's like, yeah, I love staging. Are we going to do this tomorrow? I'm like, what in the world? And there's been times where Zayd, I call it the fake shit, where he's like putting on a show. Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to, because I know that if I put on a show, then like I'll be able to get the things I want. I know that attitude and I know that spirit. This was different. And I even looked at his eyes and I'm like, huh, there's a difference in his eyes from now, from this morning. So I kind of watched him all day just like be very cheerful. Well, so did his brother. His brother noticed that there was, he didn't punch him. He didn't hurt him. He didn't put him down. He was enjoyable to be around. So we all noticed this new Zayd and we're like, what's going on? So last night at dinner, I looked at Zayd and I looked him in his eyes and I could tell that his eyes were softened. There was no more like this dark black tunnel. And I looked at him and I said, Zayd, did you encounter the Lord today? And he just broke. He doesn't cry, but he just kind of like was like, yeah, I did. And I said, what happened? He's like, well, I went outside when you told me to go outside with my attitude. And you always tell me that if I need help, I just have to say Jesus. So I started saying, Jesus, help me. Like, Jesus, please help me. Like, come into my heart. And like, I don't want to be this person anymore. Like, Jesus, please help me. And he's like, and then I saw this like huge light through this cloud. And I saw like my heart that was like in rocks. And this like gold key like came out of the bright light. And it like pierced this rock like heart, and all these rocks fell off the heart, and there was this like this beautiful red heart beating. And I said, okay, well, I know exactly what God is trying to tell you with that. I said, your heart was like a rock, and Jesus is the key to unlock that stone that was on your heart and to break it. And it's not like, oh, only one little piece came off, but like, you like Jesus can come into your life and literally be that like your wrecking ball where it's just like it's gone, you know, wherever, whatever demonic spirits, all of that is like it's gone and you're wiped clean. Mm-hmm. So then he said, yeah, and then I had that experience and I really felt like God's presence in my life. So when I came back inside and you had us do our devotions, which by the way, like I do devotions for them every day. I have questions and stuff like that for them every morning. Zayd does it or doesn't do it. And I'm not going to force him to do it because he needs to want that relationship with God. I'm not going to force that on him. So anyways, he did his devotions yesterday and he was like, Mom, it was crazy. Like when I was reading the Bible, I was reading Proverbs, like you tell me, like I was, and I would tell him like things will jump off the page where God's like trying to speak directly to you. He's like, I started laughing because I could hear God's voice. I could hear him say like, Zayd, this is for you. And then he started to like, speak to me, Mom. Like I started to hear God's voice again. I started to hear him speak. And when he was very little, Zayd was very sensitive to the spirit and he could like see things in people. I would watch him at 5 years old, tell people like different things. He has the gift of prophecy. So he would just at 5 years old could just speak these crazy, amazing things to people. It was beautiful. When he was six, there was like there was time in his life, I remember there was like a girl's birthday and her dad had just passed away and he could just tell that she was really sad. And God told Zayd that it was her birthday. And he said, like, I want to give you a hug and your dad is so proud of you. And the girl just started crying. She's probably like maybe 9 or 10 years old. And we walked away and Zayd said, yeah, you know, just nonchalantly in his little, you know, kid innocence. He's like, yeah, God told me that it was her birthday and her dad passed away. And God said, yeah, I need to give her a hug and tell her that God, that her dad, you know, Caesar. So he has this beautiful spirit. It's just been missing because of this demonic attack. So anyways, he's like, yeah, I could hear God's voice again. I could hear it clearly. So then he goes on to say, you know, I realized, Mom, like what you said, it's a choice. Like, and I decided like I was at that crossroad and I'm choosing to follow God. He's like, but I need to tell you the truth. And so he started to share like what he's been doing these last few weeks, like sneaking the Nintendo Switch. Instead of doing his devotions, he was doing that. He wasn't doing his schoolwork. He was, he said when he would get sad, he would go upstairs into the media room, turn on YouTube and watch horror films and watch like stupid random crap that was not feeding his mind. like super weird noises and animals and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Which was obvious because that's the crap that he was doing at the house.
Right.
So what he said was really beautiful. He said, you know, so he shared all of these things. Like he kind of like came clean. He said he got into Roblox. He's like, I found the iPad when he was doing the Apogee program, which is like this men's boys group that he does. He went into the app store, uploaded Roblox to get into the chat rooms again. And he said, for the first time, it felt gross and dirty and demonic. And he said, I turned it off because it felt dirty. And that is what we've been praying for, is that he would have that conviction in his spirit of like, this is not of God. And so what was amazing is how we all saw this difference in Zayd, but that his heart was broken and softened before the Lord. And then this morning when we prayed as a family, after you shared, you know, your devotion time and how God downloaded all this goodness into you, we prayed as a family. And I'll just share this little piece for me that was beautiful is, as I was praying, I pray, you know, we all pray specifically. We pray for, as a family, and we pray specifically for each other. And as I was praying specifically for Gavin, God showed me this vision of, for the last 2 years. So Gavin will be 10 this month. So since he's been 8 years old, he gets on his knees before he goes to bed and he prays just for his brother. Mm-hmm. Like, God, please change my brother. Have him come back to you. And he's been praying this for the last 2 years. And the last few months, there's been prayers that Gavin has said, I will not lose faith that my brother will turn back to you. And I started crying. And God was telling me, he's like, I want you in this prayer time right now to let Gavin know that his brother has changed because I'm honoring his faith. I'm honoring Gavin's faith. And when I shared that and prayed that over him, then when it was Gavin's turn, he was like, thank you, God, so much for my brother. Mm-hmm. And for like changing his heart, and he just lost it.
Yeah. I was sitting next to him and he started sobbing and
bawling.
Just bawling.
It's just like he just was so like overwhelmed that his brother had changed. Yeah. And he's like, thank you for giving my brother back. And just, it was so beautiful. And then Zayd praying about his vision.
Yeah.
You know?
And the ministry things that
they want to do.
Doing together and blessing people and...
And coming back to California is about them serving the people.
Yeah. Now this was a more extended prayer time as a family this morning.
Oh yeah, super long.
And I think the prayer stack that I did and shared, so I was reading part of it, I got choked up a little bit, handed my phone to Gavin, so he's reading it out loud so we can all hear it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, let's circle up. And we started praying, and I was tearing up, and I was praying for everybody, and then you prayed for everybody, and I don't know exactly how long we went, but it was definitely like the ultra deluxe bonus mega version.
Totally.
And then Gavin was sobbing and praying, and then Zayd like brought it home with the vision that he had and began to prophesy over what he saw and like the lives that they were going to change together.
Yeah.
And then we circled it up and, you know, gave a big old hug at the end. And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. As a family of coming together, of really like acknowledging the faith that that we had. I think there was, you know, also just, you know, seeing how God can work in their lives, one, honoring prayer, but also two, just like the breakthrough opportunity and how I feel like Zayd felt welcomed and loved and kind of brought back in and recognizing like, hey, he was the one that was pulling back and then feeling somewhat threatened when we were like disciplining him and being like, hey, like shape up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now it feels like you're attacking me and all that. And then when he changed,
he understood and came back around, wow, I was loved. That's why they did that.
And then he's like, welcomed back in and loved. And he's able to share all these things yesterday and just be like, okay, great. Like, we want you to be able to make those decisions on your own because we're not always going to be there.
Yeah.
And so we want, this needs to be coming from you and not always from us. And we put up tons of safeguards, but even then it was like, it felt like a little bit of whack-a-mole. It's just like, you just keep going and going and going. And then it's not one thing, it's another. But when his heart shifted,
yeah,
it's like, okay, like, let's nourish that. Let's water that. Let's protect that. Let's let that flourish and grow, mm-hmm. and continue to walk this out. Because yeah. that was a beautiful moment. And so, yeah, 3/4/24.
Yeah. And that's what I want to, I just kind of end with this, why we wanted to share. I mean, we're just sharing our life with you all, inviting you in on our life journey and hoping that pieces of it will help and resonate with you and give you hope and inspiration and encouragement. And one of the things that I really prayed for that, you know, before this podcast, said that this episode would be for you is, if you have kids, just don't stop praying. I think that's the biggest thing that God has really put in my heart is, one is like, we don't fight the battle in the flesh. We fight the battle in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And to keep, you know, I would literally every day just like lift up our kids. I do still, you know, every day lift up our kids, our marriage, everything to God. Like, I can't control all of it. You have it all in your control. And then pray, if you do have kids that are addicted to different things, that they would have a conviction in their spirit. That is one of the biggest things that God has been showing me. Even like with Zay, when he came clean yesterday, God was like, there's no need to punish him, because living in that crap for himself was a punishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I showed him that yesterday, and he even said, he's like, yeah, God told me. He's like, actually, God told me to come clean and share with you all those things. And he said that you were not going to punish me. I said, yeah, living in your crap was enough, right? Like, you had to live with that.
Yeah, we had to put more of the discipline and punishment when he wasn't getting it. Just yeah. Like, hey, like, we want yeah. you to see that this is not good.
Yeah.
We'll pile on extra consequences. But when he was able to get to the place where it's like, I don't want to live like that anymore.
Yeah.
Then we were able to change it up and come from a totally different place and be like, hey, like, yes, this is what we want to encourage.
Totally.
Like, this is the part of you we want to breathe life into. Like, this is what, like, and I think part of that is, because he allowed God to touch his heart.
Yeah.
And his demeanor completely changed.
Yeah.
He went from being a different kid from the morning.
Yeah.
To the afternoon.
Talk about like being attractive, right? So it's like, so you went from being completely repulsed by you right. to like, you want to go under, we're taking our oldest to the Bahamas for his 10th birthday next week. And Zayd was not going to go up until like,
yeah, we're taking our youngest.
Yeah.
The youngest to the Bahamas.
Because our youngest doesn't like being around his brother. So right. I'm like, I'm not going to do that for his 10th birthday. Bring this kid around.
Right.
So.
Right. So to be, completely to attract attractive people.
Yeah.
You need to be attractive. If you're repulsive.
Yeah.
People are going to be like.
Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Like, no.
Well, and I told him that too. I said,
I'd rather be by myself.
Yeah. I was like, I would tell him this too. I'm like, if we go to California, like, I am so freaking nervous of the kind of people that you're going to be attracted to. Like, you're such like in a dark place that the people that are going to be drawn to you is not good.
Yeah.
So this new attractiveness, I'm like, buddy, like the kind of friends that you're going to attract now with this, like sold out for God and want to, you know, and want to help people. I'm like, here's the other thing that's really cool. I'll end it with this is one, just going back to the thought of like, praying that your kids get convicted by the Lord of to do things. So when they go to do the wrong thing, that there's a conviction in their heart from the God, that from God for themselves, because you're not always going to be there. So to pray that that spirit in them doesn't leave them, that conviction in their heart, and that they would turn, and that they would feel wrong, and that they would feel remorseful. And that was the beautiful thing about David, is God said, David has a heart after me. But David did a lot of screwed up things, including, you know, having a husband killed because he slept with his wife and got her pregnant. So, but God still says, no, but that's a guy that has my heart. And why is because David was very remorseful. And so praying that when they do the wrong thing, because they're going to screw up, they're going to make mistakes, that they would have that conviction in their spirit. But then that the other thing is, and this is what I've now showed Zayd, is that God loves to use your shitty stuff to then go and help someone else. You are the most qualified to help the person you used to be. You're the most yeah. qualified. And so I told Zayd that this morning. I said, you're the most qualified out of anybody I know right now that is the most qualified to go and help the person that's in the pit, that's addicted to gaming, that's a liar, a deceiver, that's deceitful, that's sneaking around, that has this demonic spirit attached to them. you now have the ability to go and help those people out of the pit because you've been brought out of yours. And it's not going to be because mom told you to believe in God. It's because you personally encountered God for yourself, and no one can take that from you. And I've been praying that for you, son, that it's not Gavin, which is his brother. It's not Gavin's, you know, spiritual walk, not dad's, not mom's, but no, Zayd had an encounter with God and God broke through and took that key and removed all those rocks off your heart and gave you a heart that beats after him and gave you the mind of, you know, made your thoughts aligned with his. And now you walk this new path and that's your story. And no one can take that story from you. And so that's what I would encourage you as a parent, is that they would have a conviction in their spirit from God, and that they would use, that you would encourage them to take the places that the enemy wants them to have on repeat of a thought loop of like, you're really bad. See what you used to do. See what you used to do. See what you used to do. And instead take the power back and say, yeah, that's what I was. So now I'm the most qualified to help the people that were like me. And now the thing that used to have a grip on them now has the platform that they're building their biggest ministry on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the thing I love about it too is, while it's a part of their story, it doesn't always have to have a grip on him.
Yep.
Right? It can be like, hey, the more you allow God's love to shine through you, mm-hmm. the more that will just be like a dim thing off on the corner.
Yep.
It'll give you the ability to connect with others that are in that place, but it's no longer part of your identity. Mm-hmm. Like, you're bigger than that. You've transcended that. Now from that place, that's where you can really help.
Yeah.
Because you're not still stuck in it. Totally. Right? It's a part of it, but you can help.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah. So good. Like today was, I mean, it was moving. I was like, I was shedding tears. And I'm,
you're not, you know, a crier.
Like, I didn't.
You cry more this season?
I didn't used to be a crier.
I know. This season,
I did not used to be a crier.
This new Matt 2.0, he's a crier. I love it. Because you're just, like, you're feeling all your emotions. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah. But it's also feeling like deep emotions and gratitude and overwhelm. Yeah. For revelation, for my family, for you, for the boys. And these breakthrough moments also means that it's like we're living in one phase one day. Mm. And then within a matter of hours, the transformation of the Holy Spirit in someone's heart means that now they're like this new person.
Yeah.
All of a sudden attractive, want to be around them. And you go from being like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
To, this is amazing.
Totally.
Let's seal this.
Yes.
Let's water this. Let's encourage this. Like, this is what I'm talking about.
Totally.
Right there.
Yeah.
And we want that for others.
Yeah.
Totally. Actually, we want that for everybody.
Everybody.
Every single person. If they can experience what we're experiencing right now and walk through this, like, there is no greater gift than to walk with God, love your wife, love your kids, and then be the kind of person that is confident that what you're doing is the right thing and you're showing up with certainty in who you are.
Yeah.
And that freeness of knowing like, like this is me. Mm-hmm. This is me operating at my best.
Yeah.
Today, knowing that my best is also improving every single day.
Yeah.
Meaning like I'm the best is moving, but I'm on the path and I'm right now like in that zone. I'm in that sweet spot. So where good. It's really happening. So love good. You, beautiful.
Love you. So good.
What
and
a
I
day,
hope this
huh?
encourages you. And for those of you that are just, I don't know, just I feel like having my heart, like for every of you that are, you have that like prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, and just don't stop praying for them and that they would have that conviction and that they would be able to turn around, have that breakthrough moment and be able to help the other person out of the pit. So have a good rest of the week, everybody.
That's a wrap.